evening. Welcome. It is 7:02 on Monday, March 17th at the Education Center on Mill Road in Brecksville, Ohio. This is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There is a time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda item. Call to order, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Please join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item C, approval of agenda items. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
I have none, sir.
Anybody else? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item D, resolution to approve the minutes of the meetings of February 24th and March 11th of this year.
So moved. Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Resolution passes 5-0. Item E, resolution to approve the financial reports of February 2014. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Klein?
Thank you. Again, sparing you the 10 tab items that are here, but happy to address any of those items that you might wish for me to do so. I don't have much different explanations this month, I guess I would say, than last month. The numbers are certainly different with one more month. I had reported to you last month that our real estate revenues were lagging, and then I knew a big payment had come in by the time we were meeting. And you can see now, at this point, we are actually ahead of forecast. I will be thrilled if that ends up reality, that we're $900,000 to the good. Don't anticipate that. I suspect that our March, April installments will be less than occurred last year, and it's really just the timing of collections and distributions at the county. So I've indicated we'll await the tax settlement with several question marks. One thing I did learn between last week and finalized it this week, and it won't be a big number, but it'll be a slight change, and we'll report this more in depth in the forecast. But the South Hills 9100 building, and I forget which side of the road that's on in Broadview Heights, but the board previously approved a tax increment financing arrangement with that, for that project. Originally, the documents show that that TIF would be expired 2013. Tax year, collection year 14, and it was expired between the developer and the city at the end of 2012, tax year, collection year 13. So while it will change our forecast numbers in different pots of revenue, the overall outcome of that, which I will get in a later report, it's favorable to the district approximately $12,000 annually because the value will go on the duplicate now and be taxed. So there are always changes. That's just a new one that happened that we try to stay on top of that impacts this. The Heritage Building and the South Hills 9200 building, those will continue at this point, we believe, for the duration of time that was originally approved. But that has nothing to do with the $900,000 other than it's a revenue item, and it just speaks to how these things turn, and you don't necessarily know. I was billing the developer for the supplemental pilot payment that is due, and he responded to me and said, "Hey Rick, what are you doing? We already paid the full tax bill." And I said, "Well, sorry, but I don't think it's expired." So we had to dig into it a little bit. So those happen. The all other operating revenues, the reasons were about the same amount of money. That's our differential now. Just shy of $20,000 of that difference is the change in the beekeepers agreement that we approved in January. It's 16 and change of that. And the other piece of that is tuition billings that we charge other districts, and at this point, those are just in a slow processing mode with the Department of Education. Don't have any reason to believe that those revenues will be any less than last year, but we've done our part on that, done all the filings in a timely manner. So there's those are the two items on the revenue side. On the expense side, if you look back to the month, we were actually pretty close on the salary this month, slightly off on the fringe. As I mentioned last month, the increase in our family covered folks. The other pieces here, nothing much changed. We have the balances. One thing I did look at, and I've noted in this cell here, is at this point, the end of February 13, we were about $280,000 less in encumbered purchase orders than we are at this point last year. Typically, those encumbrances turn into expenses. So I believe we'll see roughly a $300,000 swing just in those orders that are encumbered in those particular areas, which would still suggest a favorability close to $500,000 in that particular area. Those are budgeted funds. They could be utilized. The trend is what we've indicated there. So there could be good news, I guess, on that side of it as well. But we want to keep that out in front of everybody so we know what we're talking about with that. So I don't really have anything else of particular significance, but be happy to answer any questions anybody has.
So as far as tracking at the end of the year, where do you see us? Is it, I know we're going to be close, but you know, I think we talked before about being ahead maybe 300,000.
Right. I still think that. I don't have any reason to think our taxes will be higher, but that's just such an unknown, and we can look at that historically and see where one year 700,000 in delinquents came in, the next year we're 400,000 short. And I'm not even sure all that's delinquency as much as timing of collections and timing of distributions, although it was represented to the board previously as delinquent collections. So I'm not convinced that is true. But we do know that as those delinquencies sit there, someday they will get paid. That's a reality. When properties transfer, one of the first things that has to happen is to clear up the tax lien. So we should get more revenue because we are projecting, I believe, at 97.5% of the duplicate for this fiscal year. I may be off on that, but I know it's in the forecast. I think I'm right. So there's a little bit of play in there. If that would come in at 99, which is not unrealistic, it would. It has in this district in the past. Very fortunate here to be at that high of a collection percentage. But that swings at, you know, a fairly large amount, 300,000 to 500,000, if we're a percent or a percent and a half ahead on collections. So at this point, the end of February, I'd say, yeah, 300,000, maybe five if we keep running favorably in those expenditure areas as well.
So from year to year, the good news is you're eventually going to collect it.
You just don't want that nut to get too big because it causes some short-term cash flow. The county, I believe, is projecting for next year like a 94.5% collection rate countywide. We've never seen a 94.5.
Wow.
Never defined as at about 10 years look back. Let me qualify that. Obviously different municipalities have different stories to tell. This one's very positive in that area and many other areas, but we feel good about it going forward. We know 99s are realistic. They've happened in the past 3 years, so they can happen again. And I suspect they will.
I mean, at this point, we can probably start putting some of that purchase services and supplies and materials into the bank, can't we? I mean, we're getting late enough in the year where we should be able to carry a lot of that all the way to the end.
Supplies and capital outlay is always uneasy for me because those budgets are allocated to buildings and departments, and they may just defer. It's not unusual at our buildings that we permit them to carry over funds from one year to another if they're unutilized. And they will do that in planning for some major projects they might like to do. So they might roll balances for 2, 3, 4 years to amass the amount of funds they need for that. So that can throw this off a little bit. But that's a $100,000 item. It's not a huge piece when we're looking at those. But, I mean, I I feel like at this point, our revenue numbers are going to come out fairly accurate. And within that body where right now we're over eight, if 280 of that is encumbrances that actually pay out, we have to cover those deficits and salaries and fringes. But we're sitting on 4 to 5 right there. And it, thus my representation in the past of 300,000, I think is a solid number at this point, but it could hit 5. And we'll update it again with the forecast. I know the last meeting you mentioned how so many things change, and I keep a stack in there from month to month of items that change. Some of them, and many of them, are very small, but you know, the fringe benefit item with insurances and all those things, we'll weave all those back into the story in May and see where all that flushes out at the end.
Is there a certain amount you let them carry over, or they can, depending on each department?
That, the departments, nothing. Only the buildings do we allow them to carry over their allocations. And that practice predates me, but I'm unaware of a cap that's on it. I know that, I think within the first two weeks I was here, they were asking if they would still be allowed to carry over funds, and I'm like, I never did that anywhere before I came here, so I'm like, well, sure. And I understood one of the buildings in particular had been saving to do something with a computer lab, so we continued that practice. The largest amount carried over for a single building last year was 27,000 and change, so we're not talking,
okay.
In the aggregate, it was like 112 or 116 or something. We just had that folder out today, so it's a good time for you to ask that question. But, so thank you, because it makes it look like I know what I'm talking about.
You did.
You did. We put a short, when our last treasurer moved to a different district, we put a document together for Rick when he came into the district that indicated the projects that people had. And as he is saying, it's never exceeded a whole lot of money, but there are circumstances where we've allowed principals to carry money over to purchase things for computer centers or computer areas of the district and some other places where they might be needing carts for a bank of teachers that are doing teaming or something like that. And so they're buying them on a cyclical nature. And so they kind of hold their monies to be able to accomplish that. But like Rick said, it's never a tremendous amount of money.
The budgets aren't that huge to begin with. And I don't mean that's not a criticism or a negative comment at all. It's by the time they buy the consumables they need each year, there's not a lot of disposable beyond that. So,
how's the collection rate for this? The fees, the school fees.
Really good for those who are required to pay.
Okay.
As our free and reduced lunch count increases, that's obviously a difference, and you previously approved, you can see there I was $4,200. I based this year's subsidy for free and reduced lunch students on last year's counts with slight inflation. And you know, although it's not a huge number in terms of our budget, it went up over $4,000 from last year to this year, the total amount of the fee waivers that were required by law to grant.
What line is that, Rick?
That 3 up from the bottom. 42.47 negative there.
Okay.
Again, not a huge amount of money, but it tells us something about the trend in our enrollment.
Sure.
That more families have qualified, and some of that, frankly, is cyclical due to the economic times. There would be folks who might be on there for a limited duration of time while they're unemployed or underemployed, and you know, we would certainly hope for them they return back to the previous.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item F, other business of the Treasurer CFO. 1, approval of the following fiscal year 14 appropriation modifications. A, Fund 506 increase from $0 to $2,800. B, Fund 516 increase from $814,612 to $837,970. Fund 572 increase from 282,801 to 284,288. And D, Fund 590, increase from 66,690 to 66,711. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Burdine?
Thank you. The first item is the resident educator funding. We received this last year. We believe this is the second and final year that this will be funded by the Department of Education for our mentor-mentee program. So that is that one. The other three, I think I've had on here at least twice, maybe three times now this year, and those are annual allocation grants. Item B is for special education. Item C is remedial math and reading. Item D is professional development. Those are allocation grants based upon a headcount formula that the state issues. And we had mid-year adjustments that occurred during the month of February in those allocations. And Carla and Gina went in and did their magic to allocate those funds for utilization. Questions? That first one is six first-year teachers. No, that's not right. Eight first-year teachers, $350 each that we get for that, and we go through a lot of process to apply for it, receive it, expend it, and report it back. But it's more than zero, so we're more than willing to do it.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Gosin?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item F, other business of the Treasurer, CFO. Number two, approval of the resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the County Fiscal Officer for 2015. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
This is an annual resolution that comes before you. It's one of those, in my opinion, that is unnecessary because voters have approved all of these levies at these millage amounts, and yet we are requested each year to pass a resolution accepting and approving those. The only change on here from last year, we did decrease the amount of bond millage that is being assessed. Because with the valuation and the amount of debt that's due this year, it didn't need to be at the same level it was last year to generate the cash to retire the, make the principal and interest payments to retire those bonds. So it was reduced a tenth, I believe, of a mil, so not a significant amount, but you know, ultimately those will phase out to zero over time.
Comments, questions? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosin?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Number three, approval of the Meter Investment Management Discretionary Investment Management Agreement. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
This particular item, for some years now, the district has been under contract with R.W. Baird, which has a Cleveland office. I believe they're based out of Wisconsin, Minnesota. I'm not exactly sure which, but my predecessor utilized them, and they've serviced us well, done a good job. When I came here, their fee structure was a bit high. We got that corrected and in line with what was more true to market. Discussions more recently with Meter. Meter is a large group out of Columbus. They manage a lot of state funds through the state treasurer's investment program called Star Ohio and Star Ohio Plus. They are the prime money manager for them. Their rate for managing it is 2 basis points less, which is equivalent to about $2,400 a year on our portfolio, which is not a huge amount of money again, but it's something. But the other more significant piece is Meter is prepared with more of a back office operation to utilize bank product investments, certificates of deposit being the primary one in a couple of different forms, all of which are approved by the state, all of which are approved in the the board's investment policy. And if by making this switch, the overall savings and increased interest earnings based upon our portfolio at month end February by utilizing these bank products would be a net gain of about $45,000 annually to the district. Some of that is also gains we will make on the yield curve, because to date the strategy with Baird has been to be 3 years and under. Not a criticism of them, but the market's been pretty flat for a long time now. Mm-hmm. So we are authorized by law and by board policy again to go out to 5 years on investments. So we've kind of stratified the portfolio to do 20% blocks, give or take a couple of percent in each of those 1 year increments, and just trying to gain something on the curve. But most of that will come because the bank products right now are paying higher yields than treasuries. So we want to utilize that. Some places won't get involved in it because a lot of the CDARS is the one CD type, and I forget what the ARS stands for right now, so I was trying to avoid the acronym. But they are issued in increments of $250,000. So when you're dealing with one of these groups, there's a lot of paperwork involved with doing that. They typically are only transferred 1 day out of a week that you have to do it, so you have to plan a little further ahead to do things like that. But it seemed to make a lot of sense. I don't, I'm familiar with Meter because we've had a Star Ohio account here before I ever came. They do a good job with that. The one lady that works in the Cleveland office here, I worked with her in a former life of mine when she was also in a former life of hers with another employer, but she's a high quality professional who serviced our account very well previously. So I think it makes a lot of sense to pursue this switch, really just to drive the financial reasons of it. When we saw the portfolio comparison, we looked at it identical to the same days, assessed the fees against that, but we have about a $12 million core in that portfolio. At the present time, that will dwindle as we go forward as our reserves decline, but the relativity will remain constant. So $45,000, the longer we look for items anymore to gain on revenue or decrease on expenses, finding ones with five digits are really difficult as we move forward because of the cuts that were made previously. So we were very pleased about this one. We'll use that 4 and 5 year part on the yield curve right now. It may not make sense down the road, and we may back off of it. But right now, you know, they're not talking about much of an increase in that rate for at least 18 months, and we're sitting here not utilizing the better returns. So that's the essence of that. I'd be happy to address whatever questions.
Whether it's Baird or Meter, I mean, is there a state-approved laundry list of players that you can deal with, or is this to our discretion?
Our discretion.
Okay. Anything else? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Number 4, approval of the 3-year agreement with Julian and Grubb, Inc. to assist in compiling the district's basic financial statements in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles for fiscal years 14 through 16. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
This is not as dramatic financially, but we went out. The district has utilized the Auditor of State's office for a number of years now. They do a fine job, good people, no complaints with them at all. Just decided to look at others and see what might be possible to achieve. When we went out and sought prices from these two entities in a very limited RFP, the price from the auditor's office was $10,000. The price from Julian and Grubb is $7,900. That's utilizing a 3-year agreement, which reduces the price about $400 a year, give or take. They quality firm. They do great work. I have utilized them before as well. There'll be no issues. They work with the Auditor of State's office, who will continue to do our audit side. So it it'll be a little more work for us in the transition to a new firm. For $2,100, I think it's worth it, and I know they'll do a good job for us, so would make that recommendation as well.
No.
Sorry.
Well, no, I was just gonna make a comment that, you know, this is all good stuff. I mean, every little bit helps, so, you know, a couple thousand dollars here, a couple thousand there,
right.
Pretty soon you're talking real money.
Right, I agree. And so, it's the ones we have to look at, like I said earlier.
Sure.
We're really at that point where we can do that, and I know I've said that even with that balance in those accounts. It's people beyond me doing that, looking at those types of items. That's why we don't spend money if we don't have to spend money. I mean, I think the mentality is very, very positive here toward that end.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
Good. I'm getting tired of the pressure he's putting on me.
He's going to spend it all later.
This is really a setup.
No, this is a setup.
Yeah. What's this $2,000 green tie? Is that, yeah. Yeah.
This one was not, believe me, this was not $2,000.
Roll call, please.
Thank you. Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes, motion passes 5-0. Item G, communications. Mr.
Thank
Rubbles.
You all.
Thank you.
Thank you. I had a wonderful time at the recent beach ball, and I think all of you who were there also had a good time. And board members, I want to thank you all for attending that evening. The beach ball raised $35,000 this year after all of the counts came in. There was $33,000 last year, and there were more people there last year. So the work of the committee has certainly refined what they believe the audience is looking for. And the other thing that was a little different this year is it was on a Friday night, which also put a little bit of stress on the count of people who were there. But all in all, it was a great evening. And I wanted to thank all of the members of the beach ball committee. And I'm just going to read their names. They're in alphabetical order here. But Dr. Kalibek, Carla Kalibek, Julie Firestone, Mike Gorman, Marianne Jones, Chris Larkin, Kathleen Mack, Tracy Mylander, Sue Nall, Dan Pendergrass, who is the president of the foundation, Megan Sarfi, Sue Sabracco, Scott Schneider, Michelle Shively, Beth Smith, Rhonda Sturmack, and Melinda Brubaker. All of these people put a lot of work into that evening, and it turned out great, and I just wanted to publicly thank them because, as you know, $23,000 this year was given, or donated, I should say, to the school system, and that was dispersed throughout all of the classrooms for grants. And so their footprint is certainly a positive one and has had great impact in our school district. And anything we can do to support the foundation and their work, I think, is worth our while. And so, again, I wanted to thank all the people who were involved in that, and also all of you for participating, and the rest of you in the room for participating. We had a good time that evening. So just wanted to publicly thank them once again.
Thanks, Carla. Thanks, Kathy. Good. Another work. Success.
Yeah,
one. Item H, hearing of the public. I'll dispense with the reading. Hearing none. Item I, unfinished business. Resolve to approve the new revised board policies listed below as presented at the February 24th, 2014 board meeting. Troubles.
They are all there for you. I want to thank Mrs. Mack again, and excuse me, Mrs. Bernauer again, and Mr. Jansen for coming
just
in.
Call me something flash. Different every morning.
And work on that. Well, it's been Mrs. Mack for several years.
Oh,
I didn't
bad.
Even look up. But, I apologize for that. But it was a lot of work, and I want to just say these are second reading. We have had no inquiries since our last meeting together regarding these, so the work of the committee was good work.
And it's just a reading, it's not a motion, so there's no vote on it.
It should be a motion, and I was looking at that.
One, right?
Yes. I don't know why that doesn't exist here.
Excuse me, let me accept the motion for the discussion of the board policies. Back off a half a step.
So moved.
Had the discussion. Is there any other further discussion?
It's good to see nobody can be harassed. It looks like we've covered all of these.
I was happy to see that.
Except for the animals. It looks like the animals could be harassed. It's concerning.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. J, new business. Item 1, personnel contract recommendations per the attachments. Resolved to accept the personnel and or contract recommendations detailed in the tab items listed below as per the dates, terms, and other applicable conditions specified.
Actually, it's a pretty slow.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Thank you. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Mark.
Second.
Second. Sorry.
Mark always does first. We just never know.
Mr. Parker.
Actually, it's a pretty slow month, but I do want to mention Sally Metcalf, Julie Sturman, and Mary Claire Toth, who are going to be retiring this year, and we want to thank them for their service to the school district. And you can see the amount of years that all of those teachers were involved in our program, so we want to wish them well. The extracurricular contracts that you see there, those are the finalized in tab 7. That finalizes this spring, and I don't believe there will be any other recommendations coming to members of the board. And then you have the classified recommendations, and those are pretty much movement because of positions being filled. I'd also like to remind the board that we are adding the one position at 0.625 in the support for administrative support. That was approved by the board, and on your chart shows that this particular month on the administrative support side, we have 0.625 variance in what we had last month.
Comments, questions?
Just a question. The contract provisions, they increase to step 2. Is that just timing of one person?
Those individuals are on a probationary period. Because they were substitutes, and then they move up when they get to a certain date. So
okay.
They have the right when they are brought on to then
come in where they would.
I can't think of the word, but it's submit a request to go to the second level, and so that's how that comes to us.
Okay.
But their probationary period is
so
complete.
Step 1, what about, is there step 0?
Not for the classified side.
Not for classified. So they start at step 1, and that's their probationary, and then mm-hmm. step 2 is that time.
That's how I understand it. And I actually asked that question of Rich today because I had the same question.
Right. Okay.
But I think we got rid of step 0 in the last contract.
We did.
For, oh.
On both, I thought.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. No, you're welcome. Yeah, we cleaned it up.
That's progressive. I mean, that's pretty progressive.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mann?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Number 2, resolve to approve the memorandum of understanding between the Brecksville Broadview Heights Board of Education and the Brecksville Broadview Heights Education Association, BEA, for the purpose of one-time modifications to the current agreement between the two parties as set forth in the attachment. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Basically, this tab allows the retirement to become a reality if the board approves this document this evening. Severance payment at 95% of the level in June rather than waiting until January. So actually, this is a good situation for the Board of Education, and it allows the employee to retire at their date that they chose or would like to retire at.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Number 3, resolve to approve the adoption of the Calamity Day Alternative Makeup Plan for Hilton Elementary for the 2013-2014 school year as set forth in the attachment. May I have a motion?
So moved.
This resolution, again, as we've talked about in the past and we discussed it in the open meeting last time, allows Hilton Elementary to make up one day using the Blizzard Bag option. If the board approves this resolution tonight, that is the second step, if you will, in the process to then take it to the Ohio Department of Education for approval. The first step is to coordinate with the local association to generate an agreement on how to use how to develop the lesson plans that are aligned to the standards. Second step is to have the board agree to that and pass a resolution. Third step is to send it to the Ohio Department of Education. And the recent legislation that just passed allows school district in the state of Ohio to apply for the blizzard bag option after the original August deadline because of the severity of this winter. So that's what this is all about.
Further discussion?
Good.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Number 4, A, resolve to approve the agreement between the Education Service Center of Cuyahoga County and the Brecksville Broadview Heights Board of Education for county services for the 2014-15 school year in the service areas listed as set forth in the attachment, and B, resolve to approve the service agreement between North Coast Council and the Brecksville Broadview Heights City Schools for internet service for the period of July 1, 2014 through June 30, 2015, as set forth in the attachment. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The first contract in tab 11 with the educational service, the county service agreement. These are options available to the school district in the 14-15 school year. This is allowing us to go into those contracts if in fact we need to have services outside of our employment from this agency. We, as part of this contract, will pay the service center $6.50 out of our money that comes to us. We pay that to them. It's about $30,000. As a result of that, they're able to have a larger ESC pool, which means that they can receive more money from the state of Ohio. And then we receive back in our county funds about $110,000 to $120,000, depending upon the year. That $110,000 or $120,000 is used for our library services, staffing in there. We use it for professional development, and we use it for some other things that is certainly within the guidelines of the law in the state of Ohio. So for us to participate and spend the $30,000 for this contract, it allows us to receive about $110,000 to $120,000, and then we utilize that money for several things throughout the year that are essential for our operations.
The $6.50, that's per student?
Yes. So it turns out to be about $28,000 because it's 4,350 students, I think. So I said $30,000 because I think that's in the general area.
Correct.
Deducted from our foundation funds on a twice monthly basis.
Okay.
Oh, and the second one, I'm sorry, you're looking at the North Coast Council, that's our A site. That's where we have all of the infrastructure, if you will, for our technology, all of our I just went over this with Mr. Verdine. Anything that we do that has to do with technology, we get through them. So we go with a one-year contract because it's at a better rate for us than to go with a three-year contract because of the changing prices in technology and the infrastructure. We choose to do it on a one-year basis so we can capitalize on any reductions that may occur within that three-year period of time. So we're trying to do that.
This is all internet though, is that what this is for?
Internet. Like our progress book would be on there, all of our records, a lot of the things that happen out of Rick's office, all of those types of things come through there.
Oh, so it's applications that we're using out on the internet? This isn't for internet service, like wireless, or it's for everything?
I believe it's for everything.
So
am I correct?
What are they providing? I don't understand what they provide. Is it the service or?
It's our internet service. This
it's
is
internet service provider. They're providing the internet service for all of the district, for all the buildings, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. That's what this agreement is. We have another agreement with them that does all the other things Mr. Preble's mentioned.
Okay.
And their primary function is to dispense those technology services on behalf of the Department of Education, whether it be financial accounting, student accounting, staff accounting, progress book for a grade reporting, all those types of activities. But this is specific to internet service because you could go out and contract with a cable provider or a phone company or somebody like that as well. You don't have to go through them. But this presentation through our technology department has been deemed to be the most economical, as well as providing the level of service we need with the firewalls and all those types of techie issues in place with student usage.
How often do we go back out for competitive bid on this type of?
I don't know the answer.
Every year. We go out every year because it's a 1-year contract, and there's an option for a 3-year contract here, but we choose not to do that. And John and I talked about that last week. He continues to like the 1-year option because it provides us the most amount of flexibility. And he believes it also helps us keep the cost at a competitive level because we're not extending over a 3-year period of time. So I don't know, you know, like Rick was able to say, some figures that he's able to hedge against with some of the things he's doing in his department. On this one, it's sort of the same type of thing we're trying to do. And John monitors that very closely. And so on this one, because this is government regulated, you know, there's an oversight, according to what John told me, the prices that we're getting are at the best price you can get, according to him, because it's regulated by the E-rate.
So you're saying,
options.
So North Coast is the lowest cost provider?
Yeah. As for the option and the services that we receive,
that
they might not be the lowest bid, but for the things that we need for our organization, they're the best option for us. And until proven differently on a year-to-year basis, this is what John is recommending that we go with.
It does seem odd, though, since they're basically guaranteeing 150 megabytes of bandwidth to one spot, and yet they bill us per student. I mean, it just, you know, essentially they're offering a pipe with a hole that's big into one spot. But why is the billing dependent on how many students we have? Because it's $6 a kid, I think.
I can't answer that question.
I mean, it just seems, Mark, do you, because I'm way behind. What's a T1 or T3 cost these days?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the pricing, but yeah, I don't. I'm not sure how this pricing works either per student. I mean, you have a lot of non-students in the buildings too, you know.
It just seems like an unusual structure. I mean, maybe educationally that's how they have it set up, but if it's cheaper, I'm sure John knows what he's doing. It just, if conceptually, all they're really guaranteeing, like I said, is that they're going to have a 8-inch ID pipe that probably comes into the high school. And then
but
from
if
there, John spreads
yeah.
it everywhere else.
But I don't have the answer, but I would assume that the number of students in the district and the files of the things that are being utilized for that number of students would be sort of a student cost initiative. If you were in a school district like Cleveland that had thousands of students, or even Mentor that has twice the amount as we do, that could be why that has a, and I know you're talking about but speed and all of the things that are set up, the firewalls and all the things behind the scenes to make sure might be part of the cost.
Well,
and I can.
Firewalls could be, like I said, the speed's kind of pretty much,
you can't
they spec
it.
Yeah, they've
yeah.
spec'd it for you. So it just demands.
Depending on
how
many
much,
pieces of equipment you have.
It depends on, yeah, how many people are using it at the same
right.
time. Yeah, we'll determine what's going on. And I guess maybe the question would be, and I'm not trying to screw this up because obviously he's happy with it, but did that spec for how big the pipe ought to be, the 150 megabytes, is that John's spec, based on what he believes the use is? And that, it probably is.
I think
it
is.
He's probably sat down, so then they back calculate it by student or whatever. But, and if that's how they did it, then that makes more sense. But just the way this thing reads, it just didn't seem to flip exactly right. But if he's happy with it and it's working, probably shouldn't mess with it. Keep it simple.
It does seem odd, you're right, because if you think about how, just even what little you get into your own house, it's not based on...
Well, so I'll tell you what, when you're working at home in the afternoon when nobody's home, man, you're flashing through stuff. Kids get home from school.
Wow, yeah, it
and
does.
They start jumping on because I got Time Warner.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, all those nodes start getting jammed up.
Yeah, it's
people are in there, and all of a sudden, things go like, give me my email. But I just... I'm sure John is back calculated this 150, probably came from the students, so that's other credits. But just like I said, from a, just a contract point of view, it didn't always seem to.
Do you feel okay about it?
I do, if he says this is the cheapest alternative, yeah, because I'm sure he's looked at enough. So, and that's the key. If this does it for what he needs to do, it, it just seems like an unusual pricing structure, that's all.
But it is an angle for going forward.
Yeah, well, yeah, next time we can talk about that.
I wanna go back to something that I wrote to the board. No other companies provide the same service, which is tailored to our needs at a price that is better.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, you know, we're on the record. This is not necessarily the cheapest. This is tailored to the specific needs of our school system. And what I will do is I will go back to John, because, you know, when you talk to me about technology, you're going to get a very tabletop perspective. And that's just because of my knowledge in the area. But absent of other questions, I would have been better prepared to respond to some of the questions you have, and I'll get the answers for you, and we'll figure out how that all works out as far as the contract is concerned. But I do have a confidence that John has watched this and monitored this very closely, and has a keen idea of what our needs are and the structure of this agreement.
Could be an advantage next year if we need the same amount of throughput, but our enrollment goes down.
Yeah, no, you're right. That maybe we want it to pursue for sure.
Yeah. I'll get there.
Probably,
I'll get
probably
the
my
answers.
Tabletop knowledge.
That's easy for me to do. I'll get that.
Roll call, please. Mrs. Bernauer?
Yeah.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Okay, committee reports. Financial Liaison Audit Committee. Permanent Improvement Committee. Transportation.
We have been in contact with Mr. Chipixi, and we're looking at a March 1st deadline, and that's
17 days ago.
Yeah.
April 1st deadline.
It moved.
Yeah. Disappointing where we are with that, but it's moving along.
Is he paid in full?
No. He's probably not going anywhere. He's with the Ohio School Board Association.
Yeah. I was just thinking what leverage we could have.
Board Policy Committee, other than today's activity?
We had a new binder show up. And so we're going to take a look at that internally, and we'll start working on those.
Already?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Cuyahoga Valley Career Center?
I sent correspondence to the board about the board seat, and I wanted to stand up behind me on this board this evening for a few minutes and take down your expectations, because we had learned from our legal counsel that the board does not have the ability to take someone out of that role if you're not happy with the way that they are representing the board. And once they do go to the CVCC, they actually become their board member, and they don't necessarily have the responsibility to come back in a formal way to report back to the board. That's what I had learned. And so there is a legal case out there that was used to help us with that position, as well as the Ohio Revised Code. And so what Mr. Locke advises us to do is to put a job description down and try to put in that job description when the board is interviewing individuals, the expectation, and hopefully illustrate the importance and how this board would like to have that position be a quality relationship where it is going back and forth, and there's continuous engagement back and forth between that individual and this board. And so his final recommendation is, if at all cost, the best thing is to hopefully have a board member with the credentials to leave this board and represent, like Mrs. Mack does, so they're coming back on a monthly basis and you're engaged that way. But in the meantime, I'd like to, if it's okay with all of you, as I put in a correspondence, get some ideas that you have. It's called brainstorming, so there isn't necessarily going to be a lot of discussion other than to get the things on the board, and then we'll begin to put together the job description for you. We'll bring that back, and that's when you can start noodling with it, making adjustments as you see fit, and then we'll get it done, and we'll use that and have it ready for the board. And remember, we're not necessarily in a hurry, because that's not till January, but we don't want to get in a situation where we haven't had a good amount of time to have an interview process, if that's the direction the board would like to go.
And the, you know, and I had also shared with you, I'd like, if we could get it sooner than later, then we can kind of help the other districts that are
Right.
And we'd like to set the table, and so they are waiting, they're waiting for us for that kind of leadership, so the sooner we do it, the better.
Business experience in the background. I mean, maybe not running a business, but at least managing.
And that's in the legislature. They have to have been a CEO. You had to have.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all. That's covered in that. They have to report. We should come up with how much they should report back to us. Whether we want it to be monthly or, you know, quarterly.
You might have two different options here. One would be if the person is a seated board member, that's going to happen on a monthly basis. If they're not a seated member in this board, I think that's probably where you're going with that. Okay, so we obviously want to meet the legislative requirements, Mike, you started there, and Kathleen. So the next one would be a reporting timeline, quarterly, monthly.
See, like you just said, this, I think the seated board member, like we do it now, where it's just a monthly.
Okay.
You know, or if it's a non-seated, we should come up with how
would
often
that,
we want them to come back.
Would that report be something where they'd have to come to a meeting? And because I'm thinking,
I would think that you would want that.
Okay.
So we could have.
Do you need
interaction?
Yes,
yeah.
All of us could hear the
public
same
meeting
thing and have dialogue.
Okay. Right. Does CVCC meet every month?
Yes.
Okay.
Every month. And they meet on the Thursday after us.
Mm.
So they're the last Thursday of the month. So anything that would be approved would be from the previous. Like I do.
We thinking quarterly?
Yeah, quarterly or every other month. We probably don't need a monthly.
What if
just a
it's the levy. I'm thinking the money, which I know is on the horizon in the next year or two, much like us. So that's the only thing, is if we went 3 months, you know, would that be enough time to have any discussion with that person?
Well, I would, you know, I guess I'm thinking maybe like quarterly or as needed. If you have something like a levy or contracts going on or something that is a fluid situation where updates are coming more regularly, you don't want to wait 3 months.
But who determines that?
Mark, I wouldn't leave it open based on what I'm seeing on interpretation. I think we should set it down, because that could get out of hand. It just could.
Is this word?
Report to board bi-monthly. What does that mean?
Bi-monthly.
Every other
month. Okay.
Or every month.
What about if you did monthly by email communication and present for negotiations or something like that, where you could rein in the situation you're talking about?
They need to provide like a monthly email report?
Update. Monthly update, so that you couldn't get.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, too far out of alignment, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Mark? Do you like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that sounds reasonable. I'm just, want, you know, the whole thing gets back to, yeah, I know. I mean, it's a job description. Somebody could just choose not to do it, and then, you know, you don't really have any recourse.
How about spelled out major issues? Issues that involve contract negotiations, financial matters of a certain, you know, nature, And then that would require them to have a formal presentation or something like that.
Well, and that's
they
why
they could be meeting, you know, depending on negotiations, they could be meeting 4, 5, 6 times between a month.
Well, that negotiation went on for a year, you know, last time, so.
So if you had the monthly electronic report that Carla is talking about, and you maintained the bi-monthly physical presence at the board, you'd be getting that.
Right.
And you wouldn't necessarily be wearing the person out if they were going to 3 or 4 meetings. You'd be getting something from them monthly, but you'd also be getting them in person.
Do we want to say what we want in the report?
Yeah, I think you put some structure to it.
Like finances, okay.
Probably have a few areas that you'd have interest in.
Yeah.
Resident of our district.
Yes.
Okay, so monthly electronic reports and bi-monthly in person. And how about if we start to put together what that report would look like? It'd be similar to what we'd be doing.
Right.
So we will
create a template.
Scott will work on the pieces and parts, and then you can say, well, we want this or we want that, or take that one out and put this one in. Okay. So bi-monthly, and we wanted resident.
What, remember we talked about they had a student? They had a connection to this, you know, to our school district and what our students are. So we also, not only do we want to be a resident, but we want to be a former parent.
Two line items. Brainstorming.
What if they were a resident for a number of years? 5 years, 2 years, which are not
I would want. I would want them to be
current resident.
Because of the levy.
What I'm saying is a person moves into our district and then 3 months later, or would you want them to have lived in our district for a period of time
as
a resident
what you're
before?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which could include sort of tangentially.
Do we have a residency requirement for the amount of time
for
we
us.
Had to have? Yes.
Do we know we're currently a resident?
Well, do we have to get that specific in this job description? I mean, resident, yes, but I mean how long they've been here if they. I know, I just don't know if you want to do that or if you would sort that out. I don't know which is better.
Well, right, we would, I mean, you know, when we would get applicants in, we would weigh that, right? If somebody came in and they've been here a week, we may look and say, oh, that's not long enough, or there may be extenuating circumstances.
Right.
Maybe they grew up here and they're moving back. Maybe they lived in a neighboring community, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean, I just...
But I would say it'd be more important that they be Northeast Ohio residents over a period of time, so they had some idea what the market was like here. And I mean, if they're going to be designing programs there that people are going to leave and try to find work here, as long as they've been in the area, they probably at least have a feel, they can make educated decisions about, you know, what could make sense. But
I think I would want them to have had children here. Just knowing what I discuss a lot about our students.
Okay.
So how does that play into North Royalton residents whose students go here? Does that qualify?
You could live in that.
So they're in our school district.
If they're in our school
district.
So maybe they should be district resident.
District, that's what
it is.
Right.
But that doesn't speak to what Mr. Ziegler just said. Does it only have to be district? Could it be Northeast Ohio? Could it be Cuyahoga County? I mean, are we sold on that, I guess, right now?
Well, this is, again, like you correctly said, this is brainstorming. You don't have to decide, but you could say
I'm just looking at background, that they've been in the area. I mean, probably they ought to be here while they're serving. I'm just saying, if somebody moves in to Brecksville, but they've been living in Mentor for the past 10 years. They probably still have a feel generally for the area. I wouldn't want to say, well, gee whiz, you just got here to Brecksville.
So for the purpose of this term of residence?
Yeah, I was only talking about in terms of term of residence. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't talking about current. I agree, they should be somebody, I think, that's here now while they're serving. But so if they moved here and haven't been here very long, but have been in the area, I don't know that that's, you know, a negative for me.
Are we, you know, when we talk about the monthly electronic report and an in-person report, we're getting into what our expectations are after we've selected them. When we get into the requirements of who we're going to select, legislatively, that's already defined. So we could say you have to be a one-year resident of our district, but that's not legislatively mandated, so anybody who's not could still apply, and it's the board's discretion then to say, I'm going to automatically trim you off the list because you're not 1 year, or the board, whoever it is today or 5 years from now, could say, well, no, you know, you qualify legislatively, so we'll look at the pool of candidates. So I guess my question is, do we want to go down this path of trying to put, I don't know, they're really not requirements, maybe the wish list of what we'd like to see, or do we want to focus on what we want the person to do once they're in that role, you know, like the monthly reports, like the in-person presentations, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's twofold. I think I'd like to see the description just for taking it back to the other districts and saying, here's what we've decided, because there's flux right now. Nobody has made any of these things. So that's why I would take that description back, although legislatively, you're right, it's already mandated. But this is how we're going. And I think once we do that, we might set the tone for a couple of other districts. The other thing is the requirements might be helpful also for a couple of districts that have kind of lost, aren't doing that.
Right.
Necessarily. So I you're right. I think it's twofold, and I think the purpose is basically just to provide guidance as a whole rather than.
So both requirements and the descriptive measures of the job.
Right. There's nothing. Like, you know, at least just get something.
Right. And it might be helpful to start with what the legislative requirements are. Like, we know, okay, they've got to have some type of business background, run a business, or be a CEO, or, you know, so there's some of that. I don't know what the legislation talks about relative to a residency, right? Is it just you have to be a resident, or is it?
No, what it talks about is the whole of CDCC,
okay.
That this amount of people, that these amount of people have to be from a district, but you can have X amount outside. And I forget what that number is. So, like, four of them can come from outside.
Really?
Yes.
So how does,
but it's,
how do you manage that if, is it whoever gets there first, right? Because if everybody, you know, like,
well,
if all seven,
we're getting a little, yeah.
Well, yeah, I know.
Well, I think the blanket statement is, we'll comply with state law.
Yeah, but state law doesn't say that they will be a district resident, so you're
correct.
Starting to
we're getting
specific.
Finer, but at the highest level,
we know we're going to do this. This is absolutely
right.
And then
these are really more expectations versus they really can't make them requirements.
Well, you can tell this person you would like for them to do anything, and they can say thank you. I will not be giving you electronic reports, nor will I be giving you bimonthly report the day after they take the position. So I would think that relationship, knowing individuals and who they are, might be helpful to reduce that circumstance.
Well, and I like the idea that you say of having had children or currently having children, because it seems to me that a lot that's being discussed has to do with the education of our students that are going there, correct?
It does.
So
lot,
at least,
I mean,
that would give them some kind of a
half of
tie
its
into
relationship also, though, like the connections that I bring to, like, people I know here or businesses, though people will call me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not living in the district, you don't really have those connections.
Right.
So, I mean, it's twofold, but
okay. I have a good start.
Okay.
We'll start to put the document together. And then we'll just keep coming back and forth?
Yeah, the only other comment I'll make is that the only thing that I start getting uneasy with is that, you know, we can put this wish list of here's what we want. Like I said, like a district resident has children or had children or maybe were students here. But then when we get down to it, we may get a pool of candidates and you may end up with clearly what we think is the best candidate might have been, you know, may not have had children here, but at a neighboring district, or maybe, you know what, they may fall outside of our boundary.
And you don't want to box yourself
in. I don't want to, right, exactly. I want maximum flexibility because you may end up with three people that, you know, that want this position, and, you know, the one that hits all of our check marks is not really the best candidate.
Just like the IT contract.
Right.
The thing is, though, Mark, you know, just having been there for a couple years, you really don't want somebody who hasn't had somebody in our education system. You don't want that. You just don't want that.
Right.
Because there's a lot of discussions on behalf of our students, and the things that are going on in Ordonia are nothing like what's going on here. I wouldn't ever want that. So I honestly
right.
would pigeonhole it right to there, and I would pigeonhole. I just would.
Is there a topic, call it a preference, or a topic for being a current district board member?
Yeah, that would be something that I'd want to see. That would be the first.
That would be the preference.
Yes. At least that's my, I don't know. Does anyone else feel differently that it shouldn't be a city board member? Mark?
You may not be able to get one.
No, you may not be able to get one, which is what all this starts.
I think the sentiment is it's preferable.
Right.
Yeah, I thought we talked about that before, that our preference was to have a sitting board member be...
It'd be nice to see this on paper and have, I can go back now
right.
and say, here's where what we feel, because it's not
okay.
shared.
Okay, our first preference is a board member. Second preference is a resident in the district, current, and we'll talk about children down the road. There's still a discussion on that. These monthly electronic reports to the board and bi-monthly, I would think if it is a board member, this goes away and becomes a monthly report. The question I would have for all of you is, if it is a monthly report, should it be documented like this is, so that even if the person is giving a report,
bless
there's
you.
A piece of paper, on, bless you, on behalf of the Board of Education that's part of the report. We don't do that for the other committees. I don't know if you have an interest in that for this one. You would be requiring it from this person. Would you want the same thing to be reflected in the board minutes from this individual?
I personally don't see as much of a need if
okay.
they're here giving us the report as mm-hmm. as Kathy has.
It is
the
record.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's just me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if they're giving give a verbal, I don't.
You want that monthly contact, though, because what's happening, just hypothetically what could happen, is, for example, if the person wasn't on the board and another board member came from CBCC to report to you, then that could be, that's not a good thing. They're telling you stuff that's going on, and your board member hasn't, not your board member, the person representing your district hasn't had any contact with you. So you want to make sure at least you had that monthly report to say, because that could play out where, you know, another person comes to this board and starts telling you things and you haven't heard from the person representing your district.
The thing that gets a little sticky then is when there's an executive session at the other
right.
place, when there are significant issues going on at
mm-hmm.
the other place, and there are votes that are happening at the other place. I should say the other organization. That are very much of interest of this board. As I understand it, once the person goes to CBCC board, they are obligated to that board, and their executive session is theirs and not this board's. So that very finite, specific, confidential conversation that this board has is different from that they have, and sometimes that information may not be brought here because it's an executive session from another board. And so the expectations that may not be reality, but expectations that you would have that when there's a significant issue, we'd certainly like to know about it. We'd like to be able to offer counsel on how our board feels about that matter so that when you go back, like Kathleen is saying, you're representative of our district. You can choose not to vote that way, but we certainly want to be able to say, here's how we feel about this particular choice of programming or transportation or cafeteria model or negotiations, okay, contract talks, all those sorts of things. You would want to be able to say, here's where we are, to the ability that is legal or that person is responsible.
Well, and again, these are expectations, yeah, right? They're not requirements. Nope. You can't enforce them. But in that description you gave, can we even nail it down more specific for one item, which is a levy? If CVCC wants to go forward with a levy, that our expectation is the board member will come back to us to get our thoughts on where we are, because it directly affects all of our taxpayers.
Well, the other thing is that I bring, because of having been here, is I know where we're going, and so when certain things are going that way at CVCC, I'm able to speak, listen, the timing's not good with that, because, but I don't have to say why, but I, and so that connections is important, because, and are we able to bring that person into our own exec session?
You can bring anybody we wish into our exec session.
But the executive session has to be a topic that qualifies for executive session.
Right. So that doesn't qualify.
Well, not to get a private review of CVCC.
We're having difficulty with the way the state is structuring this, that once we select the person, they are largely autonomous by statute,
which is what was wanted by the individuals who did that. They wanted that autonomy because they feel like the local boards were driving things the way that they shouldn't have been.
I think that's okay.
Mr. Locke is saying is, in your interview process, if it's not a board member, that you review the expectations and try to determine through that process which person you think will most likely operate within your level of expectations. And really, I think that anybody that comes on board that goes through a process with you is going to feel pretty comfortable at the end about what they're doing and what you'd like to know and be aware of. And I think that they would feel some sort of allegiance to this group because you've appointed them to that position and you're interested in what's happening there as well as how that influences here. So I think for the interest of time, I have a good idea of what you want here. I will put together these things, and then we'll start to flesh them out. Does that
work?
Can
I throw one more expectation on?
Sure.
Which is, the expectation is that if this person moves out of our district, that they would offer to step down from their board position.
Can I ask that when we put this together, if we could have it fleshed out by May, that would be great, because the other boards are going to start thinking,
sure,
over the summertime.
Right.
There's five new board members that are going to come on.
Okay.
So the sooner I have it, the better.
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, when you put this together, maybe you could also put at the top or put somewhere in there what the legislative requirements are, just so we
first.
All...
That's first.
So we all see, here's what the bare minimum is, what the state requires, and then here's our expectations.
I have to pull that out. Kathleen gave that to me. We got it.
And then just more informational. Let's just say a board member is selected for this. Now, to my mind, if they meet the Thursday after our Monday, you got a whole month before you're going to show up again. So if it was somebody else, and I think even if it was a board member, I'd almost say, you know what? In order for us to really know what's going on, probably you ought to get a short email or some short report, maybe that following week, to say what happened. My question is, if it's somebody on our board and we send out an email that said, all right, Thursday night I went to the vocational board meeting and here's what happened, blah, 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 and we start commenting. Now, is that a public information violation, because we're holding a meeting over email, even though it's about...
It is.
The vocational center, so we'd even have to kind of be a little bit careful.
It's not a violation to read the email.
It is.
But to respond,
to engage in dialogue.
Yeah. All right, so maybe we could still have a written report, just that everybody has to understand that it's just for information until we get to our next meeting, and then in public we can comment.
Because here's the, and I just want to remind everybody, here's the heads up. The ninth seat is not gone. I had a parent-teacher conference, and there was a very large debate at CBCC, so this board will have to produce two people in 2 years.
Oh, it's staggered?
We're on NT, we're on Twinsburg next, then Brecksville comes next. We take, that district gets two people. And only that, those of those two people, the one person stays only a year, but the other person stays 3 years.
Okay.
Okay? So we'll have to produce two. So the likelihood, I don't know, of us having two people might be small in 2 more years. Does that confuse, am I confusing you? Because I spend a lot of time confused by it. No? We're going to have two members.
Just, yeah.
So that's why this becomes even more important, maybe, because we only have two people that meet the requirement anyways.
But are all the board members, how do the terms work? Are they staggered? Each district has their own, will they have their own?
Goes alphabetically. Is that your question?
Not the one that's extra, just in.
If there's nine members and 3 year terms, that would imply three per year would change if it were Trump.
Staggered. You know how we're staggered here, you get two seats and then three?
Not the
extra, just in general. Right, are they all synchronized, right? Because then you could have a completely new set of eight or nine people. You know, what I'm saying? Like here we're staggered.
No, they are not. They're not.
They're not synchronized.
They're not synchronized.
Okay, so it's wherever they...
Which causes the problem, because certain years you have huge turnovers.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
so it's wherever their terms are now, it's just, it's not planned, it's just...
Well, now there's only three of us. Yeah, six new people.
Okay. My report, or my work, is one, we'll get to the legislative requirements, we'll have that set. Two, our first preference, the board's first preference, is a board member. Three, is the resident, current. We know the reports that go with that. We understand the reports that go here. We'll start to develop the expectations list of how to vote on substantial information, how to provide that information back. If the person moves out of the district, they offer to step down. Five, we'd like to have something put together by mid-April, which would be our next pretty much board meeting, so that we can have a May prototype done.
Okay.
Does that work for everybody?
Yes.
So Carla and Gina are here. They're helping me remember all of this, and Rick and I work
taking
on it, and we'll get
notes.
It all put together. Thank you for letting us do that, because it is going to be upon us pretty quickly. So.
I just want like a quick update. We're using Chuck Parsons. We haven't had a superintendent evaluation system put in place over at CBCC, so we, thanks to Scott, we're using the same one he has used, and he actually lent his evaluation so I could show the template and the kind of sources of board members on that. So we went with Chuck Parsons, and I'm on the committee for that, so there's three of us. So at least those expectations will have been set before, not that, but before I leave. And then the treasurer is next, because there's nothing really there also.
So nobody has ever been evaluating?
No, she has been evaluated.
Okay.
She's been evaluated not regularly, like we have a 6 month.
I think they're looking for a more streamlined metric to be able to use that they can populate and go back.
Her job description has been the evaluation.
Oh, okay.
But there's nothing formal like Scott has, where our expectations and his expectations. So that's basically, and then we talked about housing valuations, and North Royalton came in the highest, so that's how CBCC is funded. So,
step back up on STEM.
Kathy sent out a wonderful report. She has everything together. She had a meeting in January. Dr. Kalovic was there, and we had parents talking, and she's laid out all the things that are going to happen this next year, and really set that, you know, the tone and the leadership, rolling it all the way out to some things that she would like to see in the future. I mean, anything else? No, just with the PSO, she's going to be doing stuff. She's in the classroom. She's out of the classroom. She's facilitating the PSO moms and looking for, she asked the PSO moms to come up with somebody in each of their PSOs to run the science experiments and these fun things outside. So, I mean, huge job, but she's managing it for the first year. It looks like, if you've ever been on her website, she's getting it going, and it looks good.
She's done a great job. I think we're going to develop into some real beneficial community partnerships as time goes along, too, which is going to be the real big sort of mushroom cloud of events ahead. So looking forward to that. She's done a great job.
Any other board reports?
I would just like to say that the community survey is in. That was done, I'm going to say, 6 weeks ago. Is that about right, Carl, I think? I don't know. My timing might be wrong. But we did get the numbers back, and I would recommend that perhaps on our next agenda for our next meeting that we have a 10-15 minute presentation of some of the more relevant. I mean, obviously some of the topics don't have that much to do with the schools, although weeding through it, I don't know, that'll be your and Kelly's issue. But I would like to see us spend just a little bit of time to look at the results of the community survey.
We'll have it on the April agenda.
Community survey for what?
Forever. The one that was out, see, they asked about wide variety
of
things, preference.
Dr. Kalovic said through that Lancaster.
No, the CAP survey, the community survey regarding substances.
Did we all get that in our mailbox? How did we get that to all our parents?
It was electronic.
Where was it at? Where?
Sent out through all the social media.
Mm-hmm. Come out through Constant Contact, the normal email.
There was a big push to try to get as many as we could to try to get some money. And
came in.
It just,
okay. It's
one pulse beat. So I think it's worth at least taking a look at sharing the information.
We will put the report together that talks about where the information came from, when it was put out, and then the report itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other board member reports? Item L, executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee as per board policy 0166. Item A, may I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. It would be an executive session. There'll be no other official business conducted this evening. Thank you.
This room tomorrow has to be set up for kindergarten registration.